Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for your Sunrise Guys.
Let me come in.
Oh, come on in, Swag. Water's warm in here, buddy.
Come on in.
Dirt and Sprague.
I'm going to configure your widget.
I'm all alone over here. I feel like I'm in the corner watching right now.
It's breakfast time.
Hey, Swag's going to go configure Dirt's widget. Oh, my Lord.
Dirt and Sprague.
He configured both our widgets.
Oh, buddy.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Here we go.
Welcome back in. Hour number two. Dirt and Sprague here on 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. How we doing? Happy Friday. Flapshot Friday. Football Friday. Football Friday. Got a soccer match tomorrow morning. Nottingham Forest, Sunderland.
How many players do we know yet? Do we know names yet, or are we still not quite at that level?
We recognize them when we see them.
Okay.
Memorized them.
Who's the best player on the team? Do you know who the best player on the team is?
Yeah, one of the strikers.
The strikers? Yeah. Big fan of the strikers.
You see how that goes.
Yeah.
Guys scoring the goals.
Do they ever have soccer teams where the best player is the goalie? Like they're just a dominant, nobody can score on them. I'm the best player on the team?
I don't know if it'd be the best player, but I would say like one of the
Because you get that
figures,
in the NHL, right? You get obviously. Hockey teams who are carried by their goaltender.
Yeah.
And that's the way it works.
Yeah.
Win game's ugly.
Hockey's almost back.
It is, yeah.
A lot to get to here in the second hour of the program. We're going to have a smorgasbord of Duck Penn State audio.
Oh,
big weekend.
Big weekend.
There's two players it's especially big for. We'll get to that.
Let me guess, the quarterbacks?
What?
What? No, couldn't be.
No way. Not in that sport. But we'll start the second hour. Good morning, by the way. Hope your Friday commute is going well. You're just hanging with us on a Friday. Thank you for doing so. You can reach the Fan text line at 503-864-6326. We will Sprague the Line coming up at 9:30, so get those Sprague the Line sponsors in. You can throw them in the YouTube chat as well, youtube.com/1051TheFan. Let's start the second hour with a topic we haven't really talked about at all this week, because obviously it's Oregon Penn State week.
It's a pretty big week.
Oregon State has a football game tonight.
We are the pregame show. Technically, kind of a pregame show. Leading you into kickoff, 7:30 tonight.
There is no other local option, so yeah, you're right. We are the pregame show.
Just hanging out, pregame and the Beavs.
They're hosting Houston, and they're anywhere from 13.5 to 14-point underdogs at home. And, you know, it's a weird place right now, right? Like, we've been pretty honest and open about how we feel. I know I have, of I don't think that guy's the coach, and you should care about your future and not go into a new made conference by you being middle of the road in that conference. I think that's a weird look. I haven't been very happy with the athletic director, and I tend to think the attendance tonight is going to be absolutely horrific because it's a Friday Night Lights for a lot of people with their kids in high school football.
Yep.
It's a late kick. You kind of ruin the start of your Saturday by getting home at 1 a.m. Anyways, I digress. The other side of the argument for people is, I'm just looking for them to show up. Show some heart. And I'm like, cool. Can you show heart and lose by 20? Because that won't make me feel better.
No.
But here we are. It's a Friday night game. Look, I will come in Monday and tell you I'm pleasantly surprised, but I don't believe Trent Bray is coaching for his job this weekend. Even if they lose as a 2-touchdown underdog at home to Houston, I think the athletic director, I don't know how much he's paying attention to anything.
Yeah.
So it's a big game. But it's not a big game because they're not a very good football team, but you don't want to see them get smoked at home. What, man? I'm trying to be honest here.
You're just going through all your thoughts. I like it. Well, there's a lot going on. There's a lot rattling around up there.
Ever give some kind of pushback to a duck take, and I'm some massive beef honk who has no objectivity.
Such a Beaver homer.
But then I'm like brutally honest on Oregon State, and I can never win in this situation.
Such a duck honk over there, dude. Why don't you just quit your fandom, all right? Look, I think you encapsulated it pretty well. I don't know how I would feel going into the game tonight. Let me at least try and put a spin on it for you. Not positive or anything like that. But in terms of what to expect tonight, I think they legitimately have played, not even, it's not even a debate. They've already played the two hardest games on their schedule, and they happen to be the last 2 weeks of the season. Texas Tech looks like the front runner in the Big 12. Will they win it? I don't know, but they would be my pick, and I think everybody else's pick to win that conference right now. They just went on the road and smoked Utah the week after they dominated you. I think Texas Tech is a playoff-caliber team. I think Oregon is one of the most talented rosters in all of college football. Do they win this weekend? Do they win the Big Ten? I don't know, but that's a playoff-caliber team and one of the most talented rosters in college football. You've gotten those out of the way, and I kind of said this going into the year that I don't know if we're going to learn anything about Oregon State in those 2 weeks because they are so overmatched in terms of talent. Now, it might end up proving that they are overmatched in every game that they play because they did also lose at home to Fresno State despite dominating some of the statistical categories in that game. That's at least the one thing that I'll put a spin on for tonight's game. Like, Houston's good. Connor Wegman's been solid. He ran all over Colorado a couple of weeks ago when they played. Like, that's a decent team. I think they're better than they've been in years past, and they're going to be feisty tonight. I'm not expecting an Oregon State win, but you're not playing a team that has insurmountable talent over you like you have the last 2 weeks. So that's the only silver lining that I could put on the game tonight. I have rolled my eyes and chuckled at the Trent Bray, you know, we just got to bottle up what we did there in the first half, like when Oregon blew a couple of defensive assignments and forgot what they were doing for a drive. You thought that was some indicator of you finding an identity on offense, when in reality, outside of one drive, you had three first downs the entire game. And if that drive happens at the end of the third quarter when the game's 31-0 or in the fourth quarter in garbage time, nobody is saying we need to take that, bottle it up, and build it into this Friday. So I don't know if you have found anything offensively. It was the worst you've looked on that side of the ball this past weekend. I guess Texas Tech was pretty ugly too. But the best news that you have going for you is that your team that you're playing tonight is nowhere near talent-wise the last two that you've played.
You're going to think this is funny because the final score would not indicate a real difference here. I actually think Texas Tech was far and away the worst they've looked all season.
Yeah, I mean, it's 45-0.
There was no effort. There was no fight. They couldn't do anything. They didn't execute clock management properly. I mean, it was... And every game has been a disaster in some ways, right? Special teams,
yes.
Stupid mistakes in week one, inability to stop a can't-really-throw-it, somewhat mobile quarterback, Fresno State guy at home. Texas Tech, you completely didn't care. And Oregon, you showed a little something, and then you got bludgeoned. So, you know, we can pick and choose, I guess, different moments all we want. I think what's interesting to me, one, I mean, you get a win, like, okay.
They're going to jump up and get somebody, and we're going to come in and say, wow, I didn't see that coming. I don't know if it's tonight, but
they're going to do it. Is there a team on the roster, if it's not tonight, that they jump and get, and you go, wow, I didn't see it coming? Because the only other team on that schedule you'd point to is Wake Forest. Lafayette, no. Sam Houston, no. Washington State, no. Like, and you could say Washington State, it looks much better right now based on what they did, and I won't argue that. I'm just saying, after tonight, they don't have a game that they win and they jump off and say, oh, I didn't see it coming.
That's a good point.
If they win tonight, great. There's going to be a lot from that. If they do what all of us almost universally think they're going to do, I want to see, are they in a lose-lose in multiple ways, right? Like, not just a losing of the game. Does the AD look stupid and correct what he just said publicly and fire the coach? Because, boy, we're going to have a lot of questions for that dude if he does that.
If the game gets ugly tonight, I don't know how you are not contemplating it, thinking about it, or having discussions about it.
Well, when you publicly say he's the right guy, I would also question, why are you doing that? If they lose and they get blown out or it doesn't look pretty, is there an assistant coach? Is there somebody on the staff? I mean, he came out and backed keeping the special teams guy and is like, well, you don't make in-season coach fires. That's not what you do. And I'm like, everybody in America is.
Yeah, it's happened quite often, actually.
Happens all the time, man. Yeah. Actually, that's part of the gig. Does somebody else lose their job if it's not Trent Bray? I kind of wonder. I wouldn't be shocked if he did that to, like, no. That guy. So that's something to watch. Or do they do absolutely nothing? Do they lose by more than two touchdowns or the two-touchdown mark, and it's not really feeling close? And we're moving on, and we're just falling to 0-5, and okay, we're going to go to App State and something's going to get corrected. So
right.
They're almost in a maybe a position of lose-lose if they don't outright win the game. And that's going to be troubling. We had a listener reach out to us this week, and I put this in the Magic Hat. And it's a diehard Oregon State fan. It's somebody that has communicated. It was a season ticket guy. He basically ran the idea of allowing the tickets that were not picked up and bought, could you give those to students?
This has been my idea all week, is you've got to get creative to put butts in the seats, and to have this old standard, we've always done it this way, we can't do that, is an archaic way of thinking when you are in desperation mode.
Yeah, so... And basically, could you offer a deal to veterans who maybe want to go to a game that don't have as many resources and make it cheaper?
Local Boys and Girls Club. Give them away to whoever you want to give them away to.
And said that they basically ran this idea up the flagpole and got absolute radio silence. They got nothing, not even a comment back.
And that's from a season ticket holder who you have. If you're a season ticket holder, you have a decent relationship with your university because you're, you know, buying the tickets and you're a, you know, a valued member of the community and you're a customer and all of that. And to not even hear back it's just a bad look. And I think it sums up everything about the athletic department right now.
Yeah. So I think in a weird way, Dirt, unless they outright win,
there's no moral victories at 0-5.
Well, they're going to sit in a lose situation because somebody's going to get fired and I don't know who it is. And we're going to have questions about both individuals, whether that's Bray firing a staff member or Barnes firing Bray. And if nothing happens at all and you fall to 0-5 with a horrific home performance with not even a half full stadium,
right,
you're going to also look absolutely ridiculous.
Where's the bottom of the barrel at that point? Because if you lose to Houston, it doesn't look pretty tonight. Then you're flying all the way across the country to North Carolina to play Appalachian State next week.
When does player checkout start, right?
Right, that's a big game for Appalachian State. How often do they get Power 5 or, you know, former Power 5 programs coming to their campus? So I'm sure that they're all jacked up for that. It's a good opportunity for them.
Yeah.
Washington State does not seem like the layup that they seemed like at the start of the year. We'll see how the rest of their season goes. Tulsa just beat Oklahoma State on the road. You got them later in the season. Like, this is one where you want to see a little bit more life. And that's the point that I'm trying to make, at least in a positive angle, is that I don't know how much life you can see against teams who are so much more talented than you in Texas Tech and Oregon. Houston is not that this weekend. Connor Wegman's good. He can use his legs. They're better than maybe some of the teams that they've been in years past.
Can Oregon State beat Colorado?
Colorado doesn't look like a world beater right now.
See what they do against BYU, but I wouldn't pick them.
No,
Houston,
I wouldn't, but...
just ran all over
them.
They
did. It was competitive in the first half, and then the second half it got out of hand.
We will see what they do. I kind of disagree with you. They're not Texas Tech. They are certainly not Oregon. We know that. Are they as good as Cal? Are they better than Fresno State? Like, the problem with the Oregon State narrative for some is that we continue to act like this is such a loaded roster and that they are just infinitely more talented than half of the teams they've played. And I think it's very fair to say out loud they're not.
No,
so, like, I have no reason.
They were
reason.
More talented than Fresno State. I would argue that. They
I
had
agree
more
with
talent,
you.
And without the special teams blunders, they win that game because they dominated every category.
Well, they had a full week to prepare for those blunders to not be blunders, and they couldn't
not an
do
excuse,
it. So
but
I tend to agree with that, and I am just adding.
I don't think you're more talented than Houston. I just don't think there's a massive gap the way there was the last 2 weeks. That's all I'm trying to argue.
Sure, yeah.
And maybe there ends up being. Maybe
but
they
you
lose
are
by 50-9
home underdog.
You are, and I think a lot of that has to do with the way your season has gone and the way that their season has gone. They're 3-0, you're winless, so you're just going to get a spread that looks like that in Vegas. There's no moral victories, but at least give some fight tonight. Like, at least make this a game for anybody who is brave enough to go to a 7:30 Friday night game and stick through that thing until 11 o'clock tonight.
God bless you.
God bless them.
Cheers.
More power to you, and I hope your football team puts up a fight for you.
I don't have a lot left on that game. They're 0-4. Like, I don't know if they'll fall to 0-5. This point, it's kind of becoming the same conversation week in and week out.
It's more of a lingering question. If it gets ugly tonight, like,
When's enough?
The fan base is there.
I'm saying, when's the athletic department going to read the room and do something that the fan base wants for once?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah.
But we'll have to wait and see on that one. It's a big college football slate. Obviously, we got Oregon, Penn State. We continue on with college football conversation here in the second hour. Dirt and Sprague back with more college football chatter on 105.1 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So, our good friend Ryan Clark, who covers the program, Oregon State, he texts and he said he tried to talk to the athletic department about the season tickets, ticket sales in general situation.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Nice.
Couldn't get an email response, a text response. Nobody wanted to talk about it.
I mean, we just got, and somebody texted in. Let me read this. I'm a huge Beaver fan, went to school there. It's crazy how far things have fallen since Mike Riley. We are totally dead in the water, and as much as I hate to say it, it's time to hit the total reset button. We can't go into a new conference like this. The athletic department doesn't even film our post. The coaches, post-game for away games, it's pathetic. We would be ecstatic if they just covered the spread tonight. I don't think Murthy, how do you say the president's name?
Yeah, Murthy, yeah.
Is in tune with the athletics to even know how bad of a job the athletic department is doing. And I think that's hitting it on the head right there.
Yeah. The post-game road game thing has been a very big problem for me because of my job. I'd, one, like to hear a coach.
That's the first thing I do after a game is, what did the coach have to say? Yeah, let's go watch press conference, see what they had. Like, usually it's, we got to go watch the film, but sometimes you get something from it.
Well, yeah, I don't want to have to wait till Monday's press conference. I'd like some post-game, and they don't even try to provide that. It's so, like, amen. I know for some out there, and I apologize, but I just think it's important to be very honest and transparent. A lot of this feels like it's been multiple weeks of the same stuff, but it's building, and it's building, and it's building, and eventually, man, you cannot act like you're listening to people and do absolutely nothing. And so, pivotal game. This used to be a spot that Oregon State, I disagree slightly on that listener's point. Like, I'm not going to act like Smith didn't have this humming.
No, an
Oregon State fan
to say
said,
since Riley is a little unfair, yeah.
It's not little, it's massively unfair. We were a top 10 ranked team when Jonathan Smith was here. Somebody we follow on social media said, man, how far away this feels, and yet how sad it is that it wasn't that long ago. Posted a video of Damian Martinez running in against UW in a pissing rain game where it was like a top 5 UW team at Research Stadium against a top 12 Oregon State team. And like,
it was like 2 years ago.
Hey, man, with good coaching and being in the same conference as some big players, like, yeah, you can be this.
Right.
To see where it's at now and to not feel like they're going to go in and, you know, the 06, 08 years where you knock off a USC or maybe you beat an Oregon once in a while. Like, to not have that feeling at all against Houston at home, I think that in itself kind of says everything you need to know about it. Dusty did ask an interesting question of firing the coach until you play 5 games so you can't transfer or do the redshirt thing.
That's going on in Florida right now. Everybody's wondering, why hasn't Napier been fired? It's because they don't want to lose their entire roster.
I'm just going to tell you this, okay? I'm not going to name names. I heard this week that there's one player of note that already is plotting the next stop.
Yeah.
And so if that's a player I've heard of, there's others.
I mean, you can wait and not wait.
Like,
guys are still going to leave. Yeah. They just can't quit on you halfway through the year, because that does exist. If you fire a coach 3 games into the season,
100%.
Guys could just say, peace, I'm out of here. Right. I'm going to redshirt the rest of the season if I haven't used my redshirt yet. This was the situation at UCLA when they fired Foster. Everybody said, well, now the portal's opened up. Guys can bounce. And if you've only played 3 games and you haven't redshirted, it doesn't count as a year's eligibility against you. And why would you waste a year of eligibility playing for a winless team and an interim head coach the rest of the way? So I do think there's some validity to it. I think the hardest thing about Oregon State right now is that there's no faith at all in anybody in charge. It's not just that Trent Bray probably isn't doing a good job. I don't think he's being given the resources that he needs to do the job at a higher level. I don't think the president cares about athletics in any way, shape, or form, which is a huge problem for the university.
I think she pretends to care.
Well, of course she does when she shows up on a CW interview and acts like everything's great. And it's like, I don't think she has any clue what's going on. And the same thing goes for Scott Barnes. And so that's the hardest part about all this, is that there's just not a lot of faith in any of the decision makers to get this right and make the calls that they need to make.
It's a big moment, big night. We'll see what they do and if they put up some fight. People out there would be happy to see some fight, and then there's also an element of people, it's like, I kind of hope it goes even worse, so maybe they're forced to do something at some point and care.
Where I was with Mark Helfrich, man, it hurt to lose that Civil War streak against you guys, and it was terrible to watch that game in piss and rain at Reser Stadium, but the silver lining of it was it got Mark Helfrich the hell out of there.
I know you're going to tell me Ohio State, and I think that's a pretty universal response, because Ohio State at home on NBC with what feels like a playoff game, even though in this world, because we've talked a lot about pressure, right? That seems to be a takeaway from the matchup of Oregon-Penn State, is pressure, pressure, pressure. And I'm like, yeah, Franklin can lose. They'll still make the playoff. Oregon can lose, still make the playoff. And that's kind of the only unfortunate thing about the expansion of the playoff is you're allotted more grace. But I've always argued it's football. Teams should be given grace. Nobody's perfect.
Yep.
How this stacks up of just excitement, and because Penn State is Penn State, like a notoriously great program who chokes in big games, versus having Ohio State come to your building. I'm not going to do the cliche thing. I just remember what you felt last year for the Ohio State game.
Yeah, well, at that time too, and I know that this is now a fun narrative again, that all of a sudden Lanning, after beating two top five teams last year, has now not won a big game again, even though he won big games last year. But that was the narrative going into the Ohio State game, as he didn't have that big pelt on his wall yet.
To be fair, I saw Patrick and I said, hadn't had a big win yet. He goes, I know, I dropped the ball.
I mean, he beat Ohio State and Penn State last year. He beat two top five teams last season.
But I'm just more curious, like, remembering how you felt going into that one. You're going to be on the pregame coverage and obviously racing home from Grand Central to go watch this game and get rid of Teddy Ballgame.
Yeah, I'd love to see you at Grand Central, but if you're there a minute past 2:30, I will not be, because I will be home by 2:40 and firing up the grill and getting ready to go.
Your backpack will be ready to go going into the final segment. I know you. Yeah. Just comping the emotion and excitement, because the road whiteout scenario has never existed in Oregon history.
No, this is the best part about the Big Ten. Like, there's a lot
this
of
is the payoff of the conference.
When you're playing Rutgers and Maryland and Northwestern and whoever else you want to throw in that category, there are more. It sucks. And I ask myself, what are we doing here? Why is Maryland in Eugene for a conference game? This doesn't make any sense. Why is my team flying to Piscataway, New Jersey later this year to play a Big Ten conference game? It makes no sense. And then you get these moments and you say, you know what? I'm kind of glad that we're here, because this is awesome. If just imagine saying this 5 years ago, Oregon's going to be playing a whiteout game at Penn State in a conference game against a team that they beat in the Big Ten conference championship last year. So the vibes are as high as they possibly could be. I'm oddly, I don't know if oddly is even the right word, but because of the way you kind of phrase it, like, I'm weirdly confident going into this game.
Oh, no.
I'm weirdly confident, which is always a disastrous sign. You never want to be overly confident.
Dirt, think about the history of our show and how many times you've been overly confident.
I'll tell you this. I will not be putting on the cursed jersey for the game. The cursed jersey will not be getting worn for this game.
First of all, it'll stay
in the closet.
As the person who gifted you what you now call the cursed jersey.
It's cursed. It's a horcrux at this point. We got to eliminate it from my life in a big Oregon game. I'll pull it out eventually and try it again, but I'm not this weekend. I'm not quite ready for that yet. I need a dub in my life. I think part of the confidence is, one, what you preface in saying, like, it isn't the end-all be-all of your season, right? Like, in years previous, if you played a game like this, this was kind of it. In the BCS era,
you weren't afforded a lot of
You were not afforded
right?
a lot of room for error. In the 14 playoff era, maybe, but not a ton. And then essentially, if you lost it, you had to be perfect the rest of the season. Mm-hmm. And so it was hard to overcome. That just doesn't exist anymore. So I think maybe that's part of the confidence of, like, what do we got to lose? Lose a game? It's the hardest game on your schedule. You're not playing a game harder than this the rest of the way. And if you're close and you're competitive and you hang, I think you've shown you're one of the better teams in the country. But there is a slight confidence for me, primarily because of the Franklin stuff and the Penn State stuff. Like, I've watched all three of their games back this week, And maybe they're just hiding a trunk of offensive tricks that we have not seen yet, and they're going to unleash all of it. But I'm not in awe of Drew Aller. He has looked bad at times this year. He's looked flustered at times this year. They've looked sloppy offensively. And Franklin historically has not been good in big games. And we can say Lanning hasn't won a big game or revisionist history what happened last year because of the way the year ended. We're talking about a coach who hasn't beaten a top five team in nearly a decade in James Franklin, and Dan Lanning beat two of them last year. So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I come in Monday and look like an idiot, but I am weirdly confident going into this one.
Poll question up. Are you confident about Oregon's chances to win Saturday at Penn State because of James Franklin's big game history? Yes or no at Dirt and Sprague. We'll get to the ticker coming up next. We've got a smorgasbord of audio to get to regarding this game.
Yeah.
And huge takeaway in this regard involving the Oregon-Penn State game. We'll talk a little Huskies-Ohio State some more. We'll look around the slate. The college football slate's nice tonight, too. We got TCU-Arizona State. Florida State, a small favorite against Virginia. That's an odd one to talk about. We got other big games in college football. We'll dive back into the NFL. And, of course, we'll spread the line coming up at 9:30. So get the spread line sponsors in at 503-864-6326. Back with Daily Ticker Audio next on The Fan.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is brought to you by Pelican Brewing, independently brewing on the Oregon coast since 1996. Discover even more flavors from your local coast with Pelican's new craft sodas. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
Help us, Cantlay. You're our only hope.
It's a bloodbath, folks. It is a bloodbath. I should have bet more money on Europe. It's
a lot of blue. A lot of blue on the board.
You better learn to drink tea soon, bud. Pelican invites you to take a beach break at one of their coastal locations, Pacific City, Tillamook, Cannon Beach, Lincoln City. And coming soon, I'm rather excited for this one.
Oh, yeah.
I've been to all the other locations. Beautiful Lincoln City. Tillamook, underrated.
I haven't been to the Tillamook location.
It's nondescript.
Yeah.
It's just in the center of Tillamook, and you walk in. It's got a delightful little bar as you look at the big, what are those called, vats or whatever that's brewing. It's a nice little setup. There and then go. Pacific City, obviously.
Yes.
Cannon Beach is beautiful.
Oh, gorgeous.
We go to Rockaway quite often. I've always said, I think Rockaway is the Gresham of the coast, but I enjoy the beach. And I think Rockaway is on the come up.
The last time we were at the coast was right before football season started. We went, and I'm pretty sure I ate four meals in a weekend at Pelican Brewing.
Sounds right.
We lived there.
Sounds about right. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach. We've had some fun interviews this week. And so instead of just, we were going to go to Penn State. We plotted this all week. And the play-by-play guy at Penn State's a very nice guy, but his schedule's always weird. And it's hard to plan with him.
Yeah.
And so we're like, beat, you know, some Penn State, SEC, there's beat guys out there.
Yeah.
Do we want to get a locked on Penn State guy so we can just tell us Penn State's going to win because they're desperate? Right. I don't know. I thought we had some good stuff this week from different guests. And so we're going to play some of the clips that we had. If you missed those interviews, of course, you can catch it at 1051thefan.com. Let's start with Pate State University.
Yes.
This one was interesting because my matchup, I think we all have matchups. We're all kind of agreeing on some of this stuff, right? But, like, mine is Oregon offensive line against the pass rush of Penn State. What's that going to look like? Will Dante have time? Josh Pate was on with us yesterday, and he gave us one that I was not prepared for. That's a sneaky one. The matchup that he's watching this week and the most.
I'm looking forward to the Penn State wide receivers against Oregon's DBs. I told you it's bad. I told you it was bad. It's not easy to stand in the paint with points like these, I promise you. So they've been terrible throwing the ball so far this year. And if Penn State is what they've been so far, we are wasting our time because Oregon's going to win that thing unless they turn the ball over four times. I have got to believe there's something in the tank. Passing game wise, that Penn State hasn't shown. They didn't. I went and watched them practice in fall camp, and their passing game just good on good. Their passing game, their receivers won 50-50 balls. They went up and got the ball. They fought. They got separation when they needed to. And then that's nothing like what we've seen weeks 1, 2, and 3 from them so far. and the accuracy is not even there for Aller. So if that's like status quo for them, they're done. They're cooked. But if it's not, I really look forward to seeing these wide receivers do what they've been paid to do. You talk about them like it's an NFL game. This is why you went and got them via free agency. And these are the couple of matchups, this being one of them, that you went and got those guys for. Do you trust them, or did you go get them just to put their names in the preview magazine but not actually use them? It's not going to be easy. Like, if you're waiting for the easy matchups, they don't come in games like these. You go get guys that give you a shot in fist fights. And that's exactly what their receivers versus Oregon's DBs should be. I'm looking forward to that.
They barely have, just in a yards per game metric, and they've played nobody, they barely have a top 20 receiver in the Big Ten conference alone. Pena is their leading receiver with 55 yards a game. Mm-hmm. Kyren Hudson is after him. He's got one more catch than Pena, 13-14. And no Tyler Warren this year.
No.
But they got a kid, Luke Reynolds, who's a sophomore playing that position. He's also got 13 catches. A surprising answer, I thought, because of how bad the passing attack has appeared to be early on. But an interesting one. Now, visiting camp and seeing stuff, it's... What's tough for me, and I love me some Josh Pate. He is a great friend of this program. But when he goes to these camps and his takeaways are, I saw them do this in their camp, I'm always like, well, yeah, but that's against their teammates. Mm-hmm. Noting how good they were in camp, they've got a first-round potential DB on that defense. So I am curious, and it's something I hadn't really considered, of the receivers being the underrated part of this attack this weekend against Oregon.
Well, and I'll use the other side of it, too. Like, it's funny he mentioned that because I had it in my notes to talk about this week and kind of holding it for Friday when finally previewing the matchup for the last time. The position group I'm most excited to see how they play this weekend for Oregon is their secondary. I think it's a group that I have a lot of belief in. It's a group that I have a lot of faith in, but it's also a group that has a lot of inexperience. Like, you have... Dylan Thienemann was one of the most coveted players in the transfer portal, the transfer from Purdue, the safety, freshman All-American. We have not talked about him at all. We have not talked about many guys in the secondary. The primary reason for that is they have not played a team who can throw the football. Oregon State maybe was the best of the bunch, and they were just awful throwing the ball, and they couldn't do anything offensively. And so they have not faced anybody that can actually test them. I think they got depth. I think they have versatility. I think they have length more so than they ever have in that room. And now seeing how they go up against a passing attack, who you highlight and many have throughout the course of the week, has not looked great. Like, Trevor Pena, if you forgot who he was and where he came from, he transferred from Syracuse. I want to say he led the country in receiving last year. Like, he was one of the best wide receivers from a production standpoint at Syracuse. Gets bad, goes to Penn State. Let's see how it works out. Very experienced at that position. Kyren Hudson was a stud at USC, man. He made some incredible catches during his time there. He's a local California kid, stayed at USC, transfers to Penn State. So they addressed their biggest need in the offseason with those two guys, and they have underwhelmed. I would argue primarily because their quarterback has been underwhelming. It's not necessarily a wide receiver problem for me. It's more of a Drew Aller problem, but I highlighted this going into the season. I remember having conversations a little over a month ago about pressure on coordinators and who do you want to see more from? Who do you have question marks on? And for me, it wasn't even close for Oregon. It was Tosh Lapoy, who I think was under pressure to have a big year because I think there's a lot of talent on this defense, and now's the time where it's got to show. You're playing an offense that has looked clunky, to be fair, at times through their first three games. You're starting a bunch of young guys in the secondary that you're super high on and you think are only going to continue to get better, and Dylan Thienemann is a stud waiting to kind of have one of those breakout games. Very excited to see how Oregon secondary handles this challenge on Saturday night.
It's a big one. We got a carryover of noise and an interesting narrative forming coming out of the game as we get ready for the big tilt. Oregon-Penn State, that's the daily ticker, and we'll carry it over, but it's brought to you by Pelican Brewing. They have four coastal locations and soon to be a fifth. Coming soon is Rockaway Beach. They'll be alongside Pacific City, Tillamook, Cannon Beach, and Lincoln City. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach. The huge thing lingering in this matchup, and how is this going to go on Saturday when Oregon takes the field in Happy Valley? That's next. Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts. You gotta
have something if you want. Well, Oregon State at home, James Franklin in a big game. You can't count on much these days, can you? You can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long, starting at $30 for the first year. You break that down. Swigard, what's that math? $2.50 a month,
what?
Son!
That's what? Right. Less than a cup of coffee these days.
Now, what do? You visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
Sizzler.
Been using Paramount Plus to watch football.
A lot of football there, huh?
Yeah, European football.
I'm seeing ads all over watching the Ryder Cup this morning. Then now YouTube TV's in a dispute with NBC, and we might lose all our NBC channels. Cool.
What would we do if that happened locally?
I mean, I got Peacock. Weekend? I got Peacock, so I think you can watch all
too.
The NBA, NBC yeah. things on Peacock, yeah, but it would be a... I don't think it's till like the end of the month, so I don't think it would transpire tomorrow, but yeah.
Can these people just shut up?
No,
yeah, I'm so tired of these disputes. They happen every 4 months. It's ridiculous.
Well, how long are these? My question is, how long are these damn contracts? Are they only like
a
1 year contracts? Yeah, what are
week,
we doing?
You reset week later. Here. All right, we'll check in again in November.
Not what I want to dwell on for the whole segment, but it's a fascinating element of this game. Noise. Noise is difficult.
Noise is very difficult to play in.
It
it's
is
a tough and road environment.
Deafening in that stadium because the whole building and James Franklin knows what this game's mean.
Yeah.
Knows what the game means. Here's Jake Butt. We had him on, and he gave us his memories of what it's like to be in a whiteout.
And it's number one, and it's, you know, I've played, Utah on the road, Ohio State on the road, Iowa on the road. I've played in some great, great environments, but the Penn State whiteout immediately jumps out. That is the number one environment I've ever played in. It's fun. It's rowdy. That is their identity too. Like Penn State, those fans get up and get out for this game, and everybody that, you know, cares or is even aware of the football game, that's what they're doing on Saturday night. They're going to cheer on their team and be a part of the environment. And from my right shoulder to my left shoulder, a foot, you wouldn't be able to have a conversation. Like if I'm trying as a tight end, when I was trying to talk to my tackle saying, hey, here comes the pressure outside. Look, the nickel's coming. Doesn't matter. Can't hear you. So the communication is that there is no possible communication. You cannot hear anything down on the field.
That's pretty remarkable. We know it's a great home field. That's not breaking news to anybody, but he mentions Utah. He mentions Ohio State. I mean, these are ruckus places. For him to say that's the loudest he ever, you know, was at as a Michigan football player. And that's a big aspect of what do those first couple drives look like? Do they come out Oregon and yeah. do they score? Because if they score, you're going to not care about the noise anymore because you'll say, well, you've communicated your way through the opening of it, which
sure.
the loudest.
Sure.
Now, if you punt, oh man, that next drive, it's going to get even louder and it builds and it builds. And then confidence wanes a little bit. Like, that is a huge aspect, and to hear Jake Butt say, it's the loudest I ever played in, you know, it's not surprising, but in a way, you're also like, yeah, that's right. It is louder than maybe any other venue in the conference.
In that setting especially, right? Like, it's not a 12:30 middle of the afternoon game. It's a night game. It's a wideout, and this is their Christmas every year. This is their Super Bowl when that crowd gets to have it, and they haven't had yeah. a big game in that setting in a while. I also... like, the start is so interesting because if you come out and jump off false start a couple times on that opening drive and you're, you know, living behind the chains, we saw penalties kind of bite Oregon a little bit last weekend in moments that killed some offensive drives for them. You can't do it in a setting like this. It's going to be a real test and challenge for the opening script for Will Stein of making sure your play calls are locked down and then also your checks are ready to go, because I don't think you need to do a ton in terms of communication on the opening couple of, you know, plays of the game, because it's all they've been practicing it a million times this week and they know that how they want to attack Penn State. You probably have a one play and then you can check to another play and everybody has to be on the same page, but it's going to put the stressors on that because you just simply can't communicate. And when you're dealing with a young team who has never really played in some of the guys obviously have, but a lot of the key players on their team have not faced an environment, let alone one at this level, It's just you have no clue how they're going to handle it. You know, it's some guys when the lights are the brightest and the moments are the biggest, they rise to the occasion and they play their best. Some guys in those situations, in those moments, they turtle and they get scared and they're second guessing and questioning. And you don't know how a young team's going to handle an environment like that until you see them go through it.
There's no doubt. And when you talk about the lights being bright in the big moment, I thought this was interesting. I saw this clip this morning. Todd McShay was on the Bill Simmons podcast and he was talking about NFL draft quarterbacks. And he basically is like raising his hand. Bill, I've been very wrong. It's been terrible. Klubnik has regressed. Nussmeier's not been impressive. Sellers is banged up and inconsistent. Like, he actually looked traumatized in the clip because he's like, how wrong he Arch has
what
been.
What happened to all these guys, man?
I mean, this goes to show again, nobody knows how to evaluate this. Everybody thinks they know how to pick a quarterback. Nobody knows it. But Todd McShay said, you know what? My one takeaway this weekend is that there is a guy that is standing out, and it's this guy right here. As I cannot, oh, there it is.
What Will Stein got and then what he developed him into is the 12th overall pick. Then he gets Dylan Gabriel, who's not nearly as talented as Bo Nix and not nearly as talented as Dante Moore. And he's a third round pick and won the starting job. Pickett's out. Shador's on the sideline watching during practice. So another year with Will Stein, I think, would be the best thing for Dante Moore. But if you're asking me right now, based off of a tiny sample size and four starts at Oregon, I think he's tracking to be the number one overall pick if things continue to play out. Yeah.
That's what's on the line maybe this weekend is Dante Moore.
What? What? I mean, Jake Butt saying top 10 a couple weeks ago was one thing. Number
we didn't
one,
know what draft he was talking about.
Now we're the number one overall pick.
Dude, I mean, think about
Nobody's giving us a chance. Calm down, everybody. Now I'm getting scared. There's too much rat poison out there, man.
So you're going in with another
Dial
one pick
back.
In the NFL draft.
Dial it back, everybody.
I don't
want to
hear
it
excuses come Monday about inexperience. You're the number one pick in the NFL draft. I'm sorry, buddy. It's over.
Part of it is, to his point, what the rest of the classes look like, right? Like, you got to have two things go hand in hand here. Everybody else who came in as a hype quarterback is essentially underwhelmed. Hell, one of the guys in the game this weekend was one of these guys. Drew Aller is a quarterback that you would build in a lab from a size, athleticism, arm strength. He's got it. He checks every box, and he has looked like ass for like a quarter of their season so far this year.
Yeah.
And he's not living up to the hype. And so part of it is what the guys who we thought a lot of coming into the year have done, and then part of it is Dante Moore's looked really good, man.
I'd love to talk about this some more because Aller has been terrible. I also am wondering, I'm not saying that I believe it fully. I am wondering how true, like the whole they've done the most vanilla stuff and have not really cared. I'm not saying that's an excuse. That's okay. Oregon has had this slightly better schedule, but not way more. And they have shown that they give a lot of Fs.
I think Oregon's strength of schedule is 119th and Penn State's is 132nd.
Yeah, it's like a very slim difference here. Yeah. It's not been great for either.
No.
But one has executed at a very, very high level and you're perfect in one game. And the other one is like, man, we're up to nothing. We'll win this game 45-7.
Right. Like, also, if your bag is deeper and you haven't called it in a game, can you execute it in a game?
Well, that's an important factor, too. Like, there's nothing going to be surprising about a play call for Oregon. They've kind of opened a lot up. Penn State, it's like, hey, vanilla play, on two, ready? And then they win, they beat Villanova, because Villanova has a football team, which...
They do, yeah.
I don't even know how much of America knows Villanova has a football team. I forget it every year.
They're an FCS powerhouse.
They are.
All right.
That's like Montana State, man.
Yeah.
Take them seriously.
Right. Because we all remember that. The powerhouse of Villanova football.
You're not glued to the FCS playoffs in December? What's the matter with you?
Look, there are a million matchups, and we've talked about this game a lot. I think this is massive, and I am interested in it because this sways people to picking guys in the NFL draft.
Dude, if Dante Moore looks good and they win this game,
he legitimately will be on the board.
Everything for him will skyrocket. Heisman chances, Oregon's chances, draft chance, everything changes for him this week.
Yes, absolutely. So we can talk about that. We got a lot to get to in the third hour. We'll get back into the NFL, talk about the other college football slate ahead of the weekend. Ryder Cup is becoming a near absolute disaster. We're only up one in the final grouping of the foursome. They're already have lost three of the four. So we'll give you an update on the Ryder Cup as we go along. Dirt and Sprague Hour number 3 on 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.